Amen. You may be seated. Let's take the Word of God together, if you would please, and turn again to the New Testament book of John. John chapter 21, and we're only a couple of weeks away, past, you could say, the date that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Every Sunday, the child of God should remember that Christ Jesus is risen. And that's why we meet on the first day of the week in remembrance and celebration that Christ is alive. And that's what marks and makes him different than any other so-called religious leader. He's alive. He died for our sins. He was actually buried. And he rose again. And that's why we celebrate on this first day of the week. But after we read of the account of Christ's resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples a couple of different times. Now that is one of the strong evidences and points that he's alive. There are many people who argue that Christ Jesus didn't rise from the grave, that he spiritually rose, but not physically. But Christ physically arose from the grave, and he appeared physically a number of times to his followers. In fact, at one time, he appeared to more than 500 people at once. Now, if 500 witnesses all saw the same thing, that's pretty strong evidence in the court of law, isn't it? But he appeared many other times to his followers, and this is one of the last times that he appears to his followers before he ascends into heaven, where he is seated right now at the right hand of God. When we read here a moment ago in John 21, but let me just read with you a couple of verses. Let's begin in verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. This is a remarkable account. It's very special when you think about this story. It's a true account of the disciples of Jesus Christ, these seven men who were fishing together. And this account is remarkable for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons it is because it took place on one of the last final meetings that Christ had before he ascended into heaven. And because it is very similar to an event that took place at the beginning of his ministry. In fact, you could say, look with me at Luke chapter 5, hold your place there in John 21. You could say that Christ, the beginning of Christ's ministry and the ending of his ministry, like bookends, were very similar with this same miracle. And you'll find in Luke chapter 5, just look at the first couple of verses of Luke 5, you'll find the same thing. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, watch this, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Now, this is the only two times that you find this kind of a miracle taking place, at the beginning of Christ's ministry and at the end of it. Very similar. And that there are some lessons to be learned from these two accounts today. And let me begin with this. Here's our first lesson this morning. Andy, can you turn me up just a little bit? I'm having a hard time hearing myself. Here's our first lesson. We learn the lesson of the vanity of laboring without Christ. The first lesson we must learn this morning is that it is a waste of time to labor, even though it be good work. It's a waste of time if Jesus Christ is not with us. In both occasions, in Luke and in John, the disciples had worked tirelessly all night long, and they had nothing to show for it. John 21, in verse 3, the Bible says, "And that night they caught nothing." In Luke 5, verse 5, it says, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." Caught nothing, taken nothing. You ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you've worked and worked and worked and labored and labored and labored and you've got absolutely nothing to show for it? And to make matters worse, in John 21, to make matters worse, after the disciples had worked all night long and they've got not even one fish to show for it, to make matters worse, here comes a man on the seashore, on the shore, who says to them, "Hey, have you got any meat?" They didn't realize it was Christ. But I want you to think about that little question he asked them. Children, literally, like lads. Lads, have ye any meat? Would you look this way for a moment? I want to ask you a question. Children, as Christ said, do you have any meat? Have you caught anything? Do you have any fruit? After all of your work, individually and collectively as a church, if we could stop and answer that, have ye, do you have any meat? Some of you worked hard, day in and day out, week after week, but do you have any meat? Do we as a church, here we are, the start of a new week, coming up to another month, I can hardly believe April's almost over. Think about it. January, February, March, April. We're a third of the way finished with the year. And I felt like we just started it. Do we have any meat? Do we have any fish? Do we have any fruit? And if we are compelled, like the disciples in John 21, after Jesus says, "Children, have you any meat?" They answered him, "No." I can imagine they answered it with a bit of aggravation. Imagine working all night long, throwing your net one time after the other, pulling it in. And it takes work and effort and sweat and toil. And after time in and time out, having nothing to show for it, somebody has the audacity to say, "Have you got anything?" No. Sometimes these kind of questions bother us. And people get upset when you ask them, "Do you have any fruit? Do you have any fish? Have you anything to show for all of our efforts and all of our labors?" Well, they didn't, that's clear, but the question is why? Why did they not have any meat? And if you don't, if we don't have any today, if we have no fish, no fruit, then why? Now, it wasn't because they were lazy. It wasn't because they weren't working. Now, for many of God's children, they lack fruit because they've done nothing. Let me just say this morning, if you don't go fishing, you're not going to catch any fish. Sorry. You can't expect the fish to come walking up the shore and join you at your house for breakfast. If you don't have any meat, if you don't have any fish, it might be because you're not fishing. But for these, it wasn't. They were fishing. You cannot expect to sit at home and do nothing for Christ and expect that somehow you're going to get fish. This is why we were talking about this with the students last night. This is why the idea of a monk and a monastery just isn't a biblical idea. It's just not a biblical principle that we hide away somewhere and just all we do is pray and meditate. It's not a biblical idea. We must pray and meditate. And prayer and meditation must precede all that we do, or else we will be fruitless and fishless. But prayer and meditation always leads to fishing. Always. Prayer and meditation always leads to action. Because the more you meditate on the Word of God, the more you talk to God, you could not help but see His heart and His mind and His work. And that would fire you to do something. It wasn't because they were lazy. If you don't sow seed, you're not going to have a harvest. You can go out every morning and look at your field and hope to get some corn, but if you didn't plant any corn, you're very foolish to think you're going to get it. The Bible says in Galatians, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you want fish, you got to go fishing. If you want a harvest, you got to plant seed. But the reason they had no fish was not because they were not fishing. In fact, they were fishing when everybody else was sleeping. They were fishing, they were toiling, they were laboring while others slept. While others entertained themselves, they fished. While others pursued their own interests, they pursued God's interests. And so the reason they didn't have any fish wasn't because they were lazy. It also wasn't because they didn't know what they were doing. Do you know that? We live in a generation when churches, here's what they're doing. Because people aren't coming in, and because people aren't being saved, and because they're not seeing fruit that they want, they think they need new techniques, and they need new training, and then maybe they need new nets and more modern kind of nets and new tackle. You know, there's a new fishing rod we might be able to use. That'll get us some more fish. Try a new bait. Right? No. It wasn't because they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't need new techniques, new training, new nets, new tackle. They didn't even need to go find a new lake or a new location. They had everything they needed. They knew what they were doing. So then what's the problem? To the natural eye, people would say, oh, bad luck. Bad timing. Maybe the fish aren't biting today. The fish have gone to the other side. You keep missing them as you cross from one side of the sea to the next. Bad timing. To the natural eye, that's what they would say. But in both of these accounts, there's one thing missing with these men and their ship. In both of these stories, there's one thing missing. Both of them, both ships have labored all night long and got nothing. They've given their energy and their effort and they've got nothing. And in both of them, they're both missing one thing. Pardon me, one person. On both of those fruitless nights, someone was missing. The difference between having taken nothing and enclosing a great multitude of fishes so that your net breaks, the difference is the presence of Jesus Christ. There's your difference. And I wonder how many times we get into a boat to do God's work. To do what's good. To try to help people. I wonder how many times we launch out into the deep. I wonder how many times we let our nets down. We try to do the right thing. We try to do what's good. And we do it all along without the Savior. He was not with them when they went out on those two lonely and fruitless and fishless nights. Their friends were there. And their families were there. But no Christ. And as good as friends are, and as good as family is, they cannot give you what your soul needs. As good as your family is, and as good as your friends are, it's good to be surrounded by family and friends. If we don't have Christ in the boat, we'll have no fish in the boat. You'll have no progress in your life. You'll have no direction in your life. You'll have no fruitfulness in your life. You won't have any fruit without the Savior. It is only in Christ that we find at last our meaning in life. It's only in Christ's presence that we find fullness of life and fullness of joy. It's only when Christ is a part of our fishing company that we have direction. Otherwise, we're casting our nets here and there, trying everything. We're like stabbing in the dark, not having a clue where we're going and what we're doing. But the second He walks on board your ship, the second He joins you, is the moment you can now begin to have fruit and fish. I wonder how many times we've toiled and labored without Christ. I wonder how many times we've gone out to the city center of Oxford to preach the gospel on that little plastic black box and Jesus wasn't with us. I wonder how many times we've knocked on the door to invite some Sunday school children and their family to the church, and we did it out of habit, and we did it out of practice, but the Savior wasn't with us. I wonder how many times. That leads me to the next point. We've talked about the vanity of laboring without Christ, but let's talk about the possibilities of laboring with Him. What's possible if Jesus be with us? John tells us in John 15, I love this story. This is becoming a pattern of thinking, a subject in my thought a lot lately. In John 15, the famous discourse, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Now watch this. Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now look here. Do you want to know why sometimes we are so fruitless and fishless? Because we are not abiding in Christ. And He's not abiding in us. You know what we've done? We've cut off our branch from the tree, and we're trying very foolishly to have apples and pears and all sorts of fruit, thinking that if we'd be cut off from the tree, from the branch, from the vine, we're going to be okay. It's very foolish. Every time we labor without communion with Christ, every time our communion with the Savior is severed, we immediately enter into fruitlessness. Immediately. Every time. Every time we step away from Christ or minister or labor outside of Him, outside of His leading and His guiding, we are fruitless. Verse 5, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Look here, without me, ye can catch nothing. They caught nothing. Why? Because He wasn't there. They let their nets down over and over. Why? And caught nothing. Why? Because He wasn't there. But I do remind you that He says, He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You don't have to bring your nets back empty. You don't have to have a fruitless tree. You can be full of fruit. Your branches can be touching the ground because they're so heavy, full of fruit, if we would only learn to abide in Christ. In Him and us, a multitude of fishes. Think about it. A multitude. Somebody, you've heard me say this before, but somebody asked the Chinese Christian who was converted in China and made a trip to America and came back. Somebody asked him, what was the most amazing thing you saw in America when he returned back home? You know what he said? The most amazing thing I saw in America was how much churches in America can accomplish without God. All their labors and all their toils all night long. And they're doing a lot. New sound systems, new this, that, and the other. But no fish. No fruit. Nothing of any lasting value. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, all we have is weariness, burnt out, frustration, empty nets. You ever been there before? Start biting one another and devouring. Fussing, it's your fault. You fishermen, it's your fault. No, Peter, it's your fault. No, it's yours, John. You son of thunder, it's your fault. Peter, if you wouldn't have brought us out here, can you imagine the way they would have talked to one another? I know how I get when I'm frustrated. I know how I get when things don't go according to my plan. I'm looking for somebody to blame, aren't you? That's the way it goes when Christ isn't on board. But with Him, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I want to show you one more observation here, then I'll close. One more thought. Was it just His presence that made the difference? Now look here. Was it just the fact that Jesus was on the boat or standing on the shore that made the difference? Well, that's the beginning. But it wasn't just His presence. It was also His word. His command, His instruction, His guidance. In fact, that's the whole purpose of His presence. That's the whole purpose of Him being there, is that we now know how to live and what to do. He's our captain, our commander-in-chief. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And we need Him because we don't know what to do without Him. And in both instances, he gave instruction. In John 21, he says, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. In Luke 5, he says, launch out into the deep, and let your nets down for a draught. Both times, he gave clear instructions that demanded obedience. Look, the fish weren't just going to jump in the boat. We must hear his command and obey. And I love this. I want to leave one thought with you. In Luke chapter 5, listen to this. Jesus tells the disciples, launch out into the deep and put your nets down. And listen to Peter's voice. Listen to his heart. He said, Master, we have toiled all night. Look, Master, all night we've worked and we've got nothing. We've taken nothing. Listen to this. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. If you can remember anything this morning, I want you to remember those three words. At thy word. Nevertheless, I'm tired, but if you say it, I'm doing it. I'm frustrated. At thy word, I'll go. I'm broken. I'm empty. But at thy word, I will do it. And just because Christ is here doesn't mean he's necessarily going to work. Do you remember the wedding of Canaan? Christ was there. But it wasn't until he gave command, fill up the water pots. Then the problem was solved. But a command was always given. You see, the key to all of this is having the presence of Christ with us at all times, walking in his presence, but also waiting for his instruction. Waiting. You remember what the psalmist said in the Psalms? That he shall guide thee with, thou shalt guide me with thine eye. Now, I learned this a number of years ago. The Lord showed this to me. I have, as you know, 7 children. And every once in a while, if I want my children's attention, I'll look at them. And if they're looking at me, I can almost give instruction without even opening my mouth. I can give a certain look. Or look to a certain place. And Micah's trying to figure out what's going on. But do you know what's required for him to get that instruction? It's required that he is constantly, steadfastly looking at me. Because I can be looking at him all day long and trying to get a message to him all day long. But if he's looking over there and looking at the fish and looking in the waves, like Peter was that one time he walked on the water, if you're looking anywhere but in the eyes of Almighty God and Christ Jesus, then you're never going to get it. If your ear is not tuned to the voice of God's Spirit, then you won't hear him say, this is the way, walk ye in it. You won't hear him say, cast thy net on the right side. You won't hear him say, launch out into the deep. He could just be another bystander, just another observer. And God forbid that Jesus Christ should ever just be a bystander in our church. God forbid he should just be another journeyman on our fishing boat. He must be our captain. He must be our guide. He must lead. And if he's going to lead, we've got to listen. You remember when Christ was sleeping on the ship? Because he was on the ship didn't mean there was no storm. But it was when he opened his mouth, peace be still, at his command and at his word, the storm ceased. And so it is here. It was his presence and then his word. And so tonight, this morning, I ask you again, have you any meat? Have you any fish? Have you any fruit? After all the years of labor, after all you've been trying to, have you got anything to show for? If not, then I've got to ask this. Is Christ, are you living in his presence? Is he guiding you? Is he your commander? Or are you trying to guide him? Are we trying to tell him what to do? Are we trying to tell him to cast the net? Or are we waiting, listening for his command? Waiting for him to say, now go. Waiting for him to say, cast out your net. Do you know, it's amazing when you look at John 21, he gives 3 commands. The first command was cast your net on the right side. They did it. Guess what happened? Multitude of fishes. The next command was bring the fish which ye have now caught. That's verse 10. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. One man drew 153 fish by himself. Why? Because there's power in his command. One man who couldn't normally do that. Would you look here? You'll be able to do things you would not normally be able to do if you only hear His word. You'll be able to bring in a multitude that you wouldn't normally be able to bring in by yourself if you only obey His command. Then He gave another instruction. Come and dine. One of the most amazing things about this to me is that Christ isn't just interested in giving us orders. He's interested in fellowship. Jesus isn't just interested in you being a part of His army and Him telling you to go here, do this and do that. No, no. He wants to know you and for you to know Him. He wants for you to sit down and eat and dine with Him and partake of the things that He has given you. Look, a few minutes ago they had nothing. And now He's given them 153. Come and eat. Let's enjoy this. Muzzle not the ox that treadeth the corn, right? Let Him partake of some of that. Enjoy. God wants us to enjoy the blessings He gives us. And there are a multitude of blessings when we only obey His word and walk in His presence. You'll put your net in and every time come back full of blessings. If we'd only walk in His presence and in His word, we'll have to get five times the size to fill the amount of fish that'll be brought in. If we only labor according to His presence and His word. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe that. So, but the world's getting darker. Yes, but not for the Christian. Oh, we're going to go through difficult times. Yes, we are. But our destiny is to shine brighter and brighter until the coming day of Jesus Christ. Even in persecution. I told you, we visited Scotland. I took the students up to St. Andrews and we stood where George Wishart was martyred. Where Patrick Hamilton was martyred for their faith. One at the age of 24, one at the age of 33. Can you imagine? For what? For preaching the true gospel. And do you know what happened every time they were burnt? Every time they were martyred, burnt for their faith in Jesus? You know what happened? It was as if the Spirit of God blew the ashes of their dead body across the multitudes, and a multitude of people followed the Savior. Am I telling you there won't be any problems? No, I'm telling you there will be problems, but you'll still shine brightly. And in that you'll have much fruit. Much fruit. So much so that you won't be able to contain it. That's what the scriptures say. That's what it said in Luke 5. Their net break. They enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. That's what we want. That's what we want. But it won't happen unless He is with us and unless we obey His word. I wonder, what is it that you're not obeying right now? What word of instruction has He given you that you're not obeying, that you're not following? Are you content to go on without His presence? Are you happy to be in the presence of brothers and sisters, but not in the presence of the King of Kings? It was after that time in Luke 5 that Jesus said to Peter, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." This is a picture of what He was going to do with His life. May the Lord help us. Would you bow your head with me in prayer, please? Father, we confess. We confess the shame. Far too often, we've launched out into the deep without Thee. We've done it at our word, not Thine. Far too often, we've put our nets in at our word and not Thine. Far too often we've heard the commands of men and not the commands of Christ. And we pray that something may change, even today. Not tomorrow, Lord. Not later when we're more mature and older. But now, may we learn to seek Thy presence. May we learn to know the difference between when the Savior is in the boat and when He's not. And may we learn to have our ears tuned to the voice of Thy Spirit. May we know Thy word May we obey thy word. May we move quickly and immediately when the word is given. And I pray that we might see with our own eyes a multitude of fish that one net could not contain, that two boats could not contain, for thy honor and thy glory. Fruit in our own lives, fish in the net of this church. Lord, please save souls, a multitude of souls, and guide us and lead us for thy honor and thy glory. We give ourselves to thee and pray these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.